You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So on the very best of South Florida, South Beach days, the Clevelander Garage, or the garage adjacent to the Clevelander, is what the parking garage, I imagine, is around the seventh ring of hell. It's awful. And last week, after Miami was a national embarrassment, the subject of national headlines, we were going to have Stu Gatz call in on the way from the garage to the studio, but we were stunned to find the garage in better shape than we had ever seen it. That was not the case today. We were not the subject of national headlines today or this weekend, but we were a national punchline in general for being people who cannot follow any kind of rules. Stu Gatz has arrived in the garage, and the garage today did not disappoint. Now, Mike Ryan has reported this because Stu Gatz is just now about to experience it. We asked Stu Gatz to call on his way in as soon as he got here and give us a tour on the way in. So go ahead, Stu Gatz, come on in to the studio and just tell us what you're seeing. Just a general wandering around. What floor are you on, and what have you witnessed so far? The gold standard for where we can arrive with this stuff is human poop. Human poop in the garage is something we have experienced in the staircase before. We don't know if we could reach such lofty goals today, but let's see what we find. Stu Gatz, go ahead and bring us on home.
All right, Dano. I got plenty of masks on. Hold on. Let me put out the heater here. I'm on the fifth floor here. Somehow smoking cigarettes is healthier than breathing in the actual air in this garage. Listen, I want to keep it down. I want to be quiet because there are people sleeping, and this has become a home away from home, or a permanent home for a lot of people. I will tell you, moments before you called in, before you guys called me, I did see a man racing up here going about 70 miles per hour. Went to a parking spot that has three bags of food in it, ran over the food, got out of the car, had pink fluorescent sunglasses on and a rat's tail hanging out of the back of his pants. I'm not even joking.
A rat's tail? What is that? I have noticed when I walk my dog in the morning on what is otherwise a quiet South Beach, I have noticed several people in the grass across the street sleeping. They're just sleeping. Two of them this morning were just face down. So what is the rat's tail you have hanging out of somebody's pants?
He just had some sort of tail attached to his pants. He had a very thin, tight shirt on, jeans on, sunglasses on. He was definitely getting in for the night before, but I don't know where he was in such a rush to. Where is he going? He's out there next morning. I'm standing right next to his car right now. It's disgusting. All right, so my right here, there's an open spot here. There's a bag of Checkers food, and a bag of Rally's food. It's disgusting. I'm walking past that. No one's parking in that spot. Good luck. Here's some of that tobacco on the floor. Whittingham, that's what they use for blunts, okay? They take the tobacco out of the cigars, and then they put marijuana in it.
I saw
some of that. Okay, good. I am now approaching the fourth floor. That was all the fifth floor. Fourth floor. Oh, there are my birds. Little friend, the birds come in here. They have breakfast in here, Dan. I see these two birds every day. Occasionally, I throw them a little bread. I call them Rocky and Apollo. And it's cute. It's super cute. Let's see. To my right here, someone must have left this. I don't want to touch it. It looks like some sort of boombox speaker that you would find in your car. What is this?
I don't know, Mr. Gutz.
Touch it?
I don't touch anything in there.
It could also be a bomb. Like, I have no,
just
like...
Don't. All right, well...
I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm not joking.
Okay, all right, fine. Take a picture of it, and we will call authorities when you get in here.
Hold on. All right, I've taken the picture. I'll show you that when I get in. All right, okay. So I am now walking down. Let's see, we're halfway. We are approaching the third floor. See you tomorrow, Rocky. See you tomorrow, Paul. Let's see. Oh, there is. Wow. I don't know if I should grab this or not. I'm being dead serious. There is what appears to be. It could be a gold Rolex watch. The watch. This is amazing. Oh, wait, there's a car. Someone's sleeping in it. It looks like Mark Briles' car. Dan, there is a gold Rolex watch here. I don't know what to do.
Okay, don't touch it. Just keep moving. You don't know whose that is. You don't know who's coming back to get it. You don't want to be on a camera picking that up. Just keep it moving.
Okay, all right. I mean... Legit. You want a picture of it?
All right, yeah, take a picture of it and maybe kick it into a corner where you can hide it or something. Just kick it into a corner where if indeed it comes in here and it can be appraised as a gold Rolex watch.
Maybe it's part of the bomb.
All right, I took a picture of the Rolex. It could be a Rolex. I mean, I got bombs. This is crazy. What's going on? This guy sleeping in his car. Another guy sleeping in his car. All right, we are making the turn to the floor two, it looks like. This place is foul, man. It really is.
This is the deadliest turn.
This is the deadliest one? Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Here we go. Passing the valet guy. All right, here's a garbage bag of Lord knows what. There's an empty bottle of Patron Silver to my left. Oh, here it is.
Here it is. What does that mean? Here it is. What does that mean? Gold mine? Human poop?
Oh, my God. There is a... There's a wig of some sort.
Wig. All right.
Is it attached to a skull?
Is it just?
No, it is not attached to a skull. There is someone sleeping in the car right next to it, to my left. There's a wig just smack in the middle of a walkway here. You want a picture? No, my God.
Take a picture.
No, don't take a picture. Just get in here. Get in here.
I want to pick it up.
No, don't do that. Do not do that.
Yeah, watch. It might be a Rolex, man. Hold on, take a picture of the wig.
You could put it all up on your social media. Just this assortment, this scavenger hunt of foul crud that is noticed. There's so many empty bottles. I don't know why people. There's so many garbage cans here. Why can't you just throw it in a garbage can?
No, the garage is a garbage can. That's what it is. I mean, it's not. Holy hell. There's a bottle of Southern Comfort, a bottle, man, someone had a knife, bottle of Smirnoff, bottle of Southern Comfort, and a bottle of tequila all in one parking spot. Subway bag. Oh, that's a hell of a night. Wow. Okay.
SoCo.
All right.
Put it on the poll, Billy. Is it a hell of a night? Tequila, what was it? Tequila, vodka,
SoCo.
Southern Comfort, and a Subway bag. Is that a hell of a night?
They don't really match up. I mean, Subway doesn't really go with those three, at least for me.
Maybe get a nice little salad from Subway. One of the worst salads anywhere in fast food.
I'm hammered. 6-inch turkey sub. It's weird. Okay, I think the big things were, the unexpected thing was there's a Rolex that no one is picking up because it's soaked in COVID. Otherwise, that thing would have been scooped up, I don't know, days ago. And a wig, and Art Briles.
All right, yes, Art Briles.
Apollo and Rocky.
Yes, yeah. All right. We will see you in a little bit. Thank you for checking in from the parking garage. It's a happy Greg Cody Tuesday to all of you. The Marlins are said to be close to finally getting naming rights for their ballpark. I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's going to be more tech, more Bitcoin stuff. The Miami Arena is being called FTX Arena now because we are America's leader in cryptocurrency. $135 million for 19 years. It is no longer going to be the American Airlines Arena. It's going to be the FTX Arena. Have you heard anything, Billy? Do you care in any way whatsoever? Marlins are going to name. They're finally going to get. They thought they were going to get for years and years naming rights, and instead all they were able to put up is a tiny little Pepsi sign, and then a little bit of Miccosukee was there as well, and that's it. They have not been able to get naming rights, but naming rights are coming on Wednesday. Do you care, Billy?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I like that it's known as Marlins Park, but this will be good for the team. They get naming rights. They get a new TV deal. This is good, Dan. I mean, I'm sure on Thursday we're going to hear how horrible it is, but this is good that they're going to get naming rights and they're going to get a new TV deal. Are you guys not excited about this?
I would love the Marlins to be able to get money from wherever it is that they could get money. Corporate sponsorship is greatly difficult in South Florida, so I'm looking forward to it being a legitimate naming situation. But you think David Sampson is going to say what on Thursday?
Oh, I know David Sampson's going to poop all over it. He's going to tell us how his four-year-old kid had a better deal, and he had a deal that was 40 times better than this, and he's not bitter, but Derek Jeter sucks. It's going to be a whole thing with Sampson on Thursday. I mean, let's play a game. Let's go around the room. How is this going to go on Thursday with David Sampson? Is he going to be excited about this deal? We're not excited about this deal.
I'm curious. We'll find out together on Thursday. Is David Sampson always negative on all things done by the Marlins? Because he claims that he gives credit when it's due and where it's due.
He was he at least projected that he was happy about the playoff run last year after, I mean, working himself into it. But I think Billy's nailed it. There always seems to be another angle for David on these things. Whenever there's something good, it's a yeah but situation with David Sampson. Yeah, but I could have had blank back then. So we'll see if that's still the case, because he certainly did that with a TV deal.
I wanted to bring Greg Cody in here to talk a little bit about Howard Schnellenberger, because it's a bygone age. It's nearly 40 years ago, but we have been living long enough that many of the listeners to this show are fed up with us talking Miami football, because Miami football hasn't been any good in 20 years. But Howard Schnellenberger kicked off a run for Miami that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent across college sports, where Miami was doing the things that Alabama is now doing. And I think that 2001 University of Miami team, you can argue, is the most loaded roster in the history of college football. But Greg, you covered Howard Schnellenberger. Howard Schnellenberger came into town before there was anything but the Miami Dolphins. There was nothing else here for sports. So he helped back then, right? When the Orange Bowl, you can get into the Orange Bowl. If you went to Burger King and bought a burger, you could get into a football game for like a buck. It was some ridiculous deal that they had because they had so much trouble filling that stadium. And he figured out that if he just walls off Miami, walls off South Florida to the nation, that he could have himself a championship team. I think one of his greatest gifts was that he was able to make his way into Miami's inner cities with success before just about anybody was. And he started a program that became across the country something to be respected and feared. And this was the Miami team before the ones that came with bad reputations. I think that he is the only University of Miami coach to have done it cleanly without national complaint. Now, that doesn't mean that Larry Coker was suffering a great many public disgraces, because he was not. But Miami at that point already had a reputation. Schnellenberger brought us a championship in 83. And Stugatz, you think that Tom Osborne should have gone for two there? Because I wonder how much different all of that plays out, even if Nebraska just kicks the extra point and Miami isn't allowed to be a champion. I also wonder how different it plays out if Howard Schnellenberger had just stayed at the University of Miami instead of being tempted to go to the USFL.
I wondered that yesterday. I did rip Tom Osborne for going for two. A passing play, by the way, Turner Gill, who threw like five passes that entire season. He went for two instead of the one. He wanted the undefeated season. He wanted the victory. Had he simply kicked an extra point, Nebraska wins that national championship. He should have been fired. I mean, and he should be fired from whatever he's doing right now.
Mike Ryan just whispered in my ear right before you did that. Mike Ryan just whispered in my ear, please go to Greg Cody on Schnellenberger before fires Tom Osborne again. Unfortunately,
terrible decision.
My reflexes are a little bit slow, so we're trying to eulogize Howard Schnellenberger, but Greg Cody has dropped off the Zoom, so we will eulogize Howard Schnellenberger next.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Holy shit, I thought you were riffing on the Rolex.
No. There's a Rolex up there, man.
It's incredible.
There's also a bomb. All right, take a picture of it.
I was convinced he made everything he saw up.
No.
That was good. No, like I didn't think, like, yeah, just, I assumed you had to.
Well, the Art Briles one I did.
And the multiple people sleeping in their car. Wow.
No, there are people sleeping in their cars, Chris. Mike will attest to that. Like, you're invading on their home.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
They're like, walk around quiet because I got shushed the other day.
I did too. Like, I just walked into someone's house.
I said sorry as if I were being rude to park my car in a parking garage.
Greg, tell me what it is that you believe that Howard Schnellenberger's legacy will be in South Florida and in Miami.
Well, he's the father of it all when it comes to UM. 37 years later, whatever lingering perfume of aura and swagger the program might still have is because of Howard. And I think he could have been Bobby Bowden down here. He could have stayed and been a part of at least a couple of more championships. And he's called leaving to go to the USFL team that never happened. He's called that the dumbest thing he ever did. And he's right, but he had humor about it. And then obviously he went and saved the Louisville program and started the FAU program. And I think one of the great crimes is that he's never been let in the College Football Hall of Fame, which has this ridiculous standard that it won't bend. But I think he's been an architect down here. I think he stands with Shula and Riley in terms of stature when it comes to coaching and administration.
Is there a fourth South Florida leader? I guess it would be Jimmy Johnson, right? A fourth South Florida sports leader where you say definitively this human being goes on the Mount Rushmore of great leaders South Florida has ever had across sports, echoing leader, icon leader, symbol, because I got to think you checked in, Greg, with your own mortality, given how much of your life you spent covering Howard Schnellenberger, given that he was out. Shula had a personality, but it was just sort of gruff. Schnellenberger had a little bit of Miami style, like he wandered around with that pipe. He had those jackets with the patches on the elbows. He was trying to give off style. He was always trying to get money, fundraising for the program. There's a famous story in Louisville of Howard Schnellenberger seeing in his weight room. Do you guys know this story? Seeing in his weight room somebody who was in town as part of a performance and kicking that person angrily out of the weight room. Get out of here. Get the bleep out of here. Who are you? You don't belong here. And it was Mick Jagger. And when they came and told him who Mick Jagger was, he still didn't know who Mick Jagger was, but they told him, yeah, he's in town. He's doing a concert. He makes millions of dollars. And then the next time they saw Howard, it was with his arm around Mick Jagger, sort of trying to get him to fundraise for Louisville. And Mick Jagger, it was said, was scared of him because he sort of had this persona of being outsized, big and gruff and almost cartoonishly coach.
Yeah, I'll never forget the night they won the national championship in the first couple of days of 1984. And in the post-game press conference next to Howard stood his wife, Beverly, in a floor-length mink coat. And that was just such a stunning sight to see. but Howard had, he had panache. I mean, that rumbling basso profundo voice of his, he had a real aura to him. And it was magnetic, and as you referred to earlier, he called it the state of Miami. He recruited South Florida, and he recruited speed, and that was a simple blueprint that others, notably Jimmy Johnson, followed to a T. And he really laid the blueprint, and a lot of people forget that in 1979, when he came to UM, the Board of Trustees had met a year earlier and talked about dissolving the entire football program, which was hemorrhaging money, had very little fan interest. And Howard literally saved football at Miami. And the morning he passed away on Saturday, the UM football program tweeted out, if not for Howard Schnellenberger, there is no Miami football. And it sounded like hyperbole, the kind of bon mot you say at a eulogy, but it rang true because I think he really did save Hurricanes football in a significant way.
When you think back to his legacy and the impact he had, is it the thing you first think of in terms of changing the fortunes of that program? Is him recruiting South Florida, him dominating that area, the Miami area?
Yes, is the short answer, but the longer answer is what I think of when I think of Howard Schnellenberger. Again, you've got a pipe smoker. Give me all the other pipe smokers you have found throughout sports that you associate with this.
Ron Washington.
And so he's got this baritone, gravelly voice, and he was a combination of intimidating and charming. And what I thought to myself, Greg, because it's so easy to say now, recruited speed and recruited Miami's inner cities, but I never thought that he was somebody who would fit in Miami's inner cities. And he would go into Miami's inner cities and he would mine Miami's inner cities before other people were doing that. Other coaches were not coming down here and doing that. And I always wondered how he fit there. And you've got part of your answer with his wife wearing the mink on the championship stage, because they did. They had a swagger to them as a couple. They felt like Miami royalty. They walked into a room and they knew that everyone knew that they were walking into a room.
That's a weird one to figure out, because he, in some ways, he was the antithesis of a football coach. I thought he sort of came off professorial, like a U.S. senator walking into a room. You know, he had this stature. He was a very big man physically, and he just had an aura about him. And as you said, I think you alluded to Beverly, and I'd mentioned earlier she was wearing a mink coat, which was just stunning, because it had to be 98 degree humidity that night, and she's standing next to him in a mink coat. They just had a style. I don't know whether it was a Miami style or their own style, but they had a very much an individual style as a couple. They were a power couple before power couples were famous and down here. And I think that his legacy really does live on. I think his stature in the program just continues 40 years later.
I was going to ask Greg, but I'm not certain of his connection and if he can hear me right now. What is keeping Howard out of the Hall of Fame? Because I am outraged by it, and I think this show should try to do something about it.
Yeah, I've written two or three columns about that over the years. And in the last one, I even wrote, let's not make this a posthumous honor. Let's do it while he's alive. And that never happened. The Hall of Fame has a minimum standard for career one loss percentage. And the reason that Howard doesn't meet that standard is that he built losers into winners. You know, when you take over a losing UM program and a losing Louisville program and you start FAU from scratch, you're not going to win right away. You're going to have a few years of losing before you win. And so his career one-loss record took a hit, but he's the architect and the savior of football in a way on not one or two, but three different campuses. And if that's not a Hall of Fame resume, I don't know what is. It's a real crime that the College Football Hall of Fame hasn't made its rules more malleable to allow somebody like Schnellenberger in.
It's really a testament to all the success South Florida has had after that 83 championship in sports, because now you're putting guys like Dwayne and even possibly LeBron on that Mount Rushmore. But when you consider Schnellenberger was also part of the 72 Dolphins staff, and in college football history, he recruited Joe Namath to Alabama. This guy is a titan of the sport.
Greg, is it malleable or malleable?
That's a good question. I've always said malleable, but I may be wrong.
I think it's malleable.
It's malleable.
Like I said.
You know who else felt like winners this weekend? We had all winners around here, and I'm sure you guys covered some of this yesterday, but the Miami Heat trades, the Miami Dolphins trades.
I mean, the Heat traded while losing six straight. Winners.
Hey, winners of one in a row.
And winners, of course, with the medicine of the Knicks. The Knicks made Pat Riley sob at his desk 20 years ago, but since then, they have been just something that makes the Miami Heat feel good at every turn. Julius Randle didn't do anything against Bam Adebayo last night and wouldn't do anything against Bam Adebayo if they played a million times against each other.
Yeah, Bam was really sick last night, and Tyler Hero's playing real well since he didn't get traded. Gotcha.
He is hitting open jumpers, although I am very frustrated with both Duncan Robinson and Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza, I'm expecting a loud noise every time he shoots. Every time he shoots, I'm just expecting a loud noise. I don't know if like how you guys react when lightning strikes, okay, where you're expecting lightning to strike again. I'm telling you, I now flinch when Ariza releases the basketball.
Yeah, offensively, I think he's toast, but defensively, he brings something to the table. I think all of us had the same realization. Man, Trevor Ariza is really long. I haven't seen him in a year and a half. I forgot. He looks extra long in this uniform.
They've got a lot of perimeter defenders is what they've done, because Oladipo is excellent there as well. I'm curious how
used to be. We don't know if he can tap back into that, but Oladipo at his height was one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And to Trevor Ariza's credit, he absolutely shut down Damian Lillard up until it was Dame time, but offensively, I don't know what he has left.
I don't know how to make an appraisal on Oladipo, because you just stopped me on defense. The scouts I was reading in the Miami Herald are saying he's still good at defense. I've told you before, I have a hard time measuring defense, so somebody's got to tell me when somebody is great at defense, because that's not something that I can do with my eyes. So Oladipo goes to Houston. He's been inefficient since the injury. He didn't look right in the playoffs against the Heat. He wasn't any kind of threat. Nobody was worried about him as they swept the Pacers in the playoffs, and he looked unathletic. I must confess, I did not watch while he was playing and losing 20 games in Houston, so I don't know if he looks more athletic now.
Real reason to hope, because his last 12 games, particularly in Houston, have been more efficient. He's looked a little bit more dynamic. He's put up some really good point scoring totals with the efficiency, which is what you like to see. Defensively, still not the same player. We're talking about a guy that was pretty much arguably the best perimeter defender in the NBA. He hasn't kicked it back up to that level. We're unsure if he can, but he calls for Dano.
My, don't you worry, he was doing that on a really bad Houston team.
I actually think that was great for his career. Going to Houston, a team that is really not concerned with winning this year, to get himself back in a rhythm and lay the foundation for a move. He wasn't going to re-sign there. So it was, for whatever reason, there was not a lot of smoke around him around the deadline, except for Ashley Nicole Moss, who burst back onto the scene with a correct prediction after the Giannis Antetokounmpo thing, had a retreat all the way back to New York.
That's the cocainiest fast delivery you've
crazy. Nailed it.
You hit so much information there, just sort of chatterboxing with your teeth.
Yeah. And I nailed it, right? Not a slip.
I mean, he did average 25.5 points per game his last seven or eight games.
Look, I know how Heat culture talk goes, so I want to get out of the way quickly for you guys and throw a lot of information in little 3-second windows.
Okay, do it as fast as you can. I think of him as an inefficient player post-injury. I think
Oladipo has been.
I think of him as somebody who, if he's your lead guy, you're going to lose 20 straight in Houston.
But all you're asking for from him is to give you like two playoff games in which he's the star player, right? And you've kind of upgraded from like Kelly Olynyk can probably give you a game. Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless certainly cannot. But Victor Oladipo can give you like two playoff games where he's the memorable performer. And that's really all you're asking of from him. Like, you didn't give up any of your core pieces, any of your lead guys. You're just asking for a couple of playoff performances.
You're asking him to play defense. You're asking him, and he is capable of being the leading scorer on any given night. You're asking him to play defense. If he's your third best player, then you have a really good team, right? And he is their third best player, I think.
You need someone to go to when Dragic is out, because when Dragic is out, this team has really struggled. Bam, to a degree, can do it, but we still want him to be a little bit more aggressive. Aggressive like he was last night in New York, where he looked like one of the best players in the league. Oladipo gives you that other option.
Stugat says if he's your third best player, you're pretty good, but I thought he was Indiana's third best player, and they got swept by the Heat in the first round. I
mean, was he their third
TJ
best?
TJ Warren and Sabonis were their best players.
Well, Sabonis was not in the bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a big problem.
But TJ Warren, you're finally coming around.
I don't even at that point what we were seeing from Oladipo, I'm not even totally sure it's better than Miles Turner. What we were seeing because he just didn't look physically right. He didn't look like an athletic human being with a majestic singing voice. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he is an excellent singer. Wasn't he on some singing television show?
Oh, you have your expert in this Zoom.
Some singing television? How dare you, sir? He was on The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
He was thingamajig. And you remember that he was on because we talked about him in the Music Dome. Don't even pretend with this nonsense. Not even going to dignify that with an answer.
Very outraged.
Some singing show. Just please. America's biggest show, maybe? Yeah, some singing show. Okay, buddy.
When is the last time you gave us a Masked Singer update? I feel like we haven't gotten one in a very long time, in more than a year. I asked this question genuinely. When are you guys coming in here? Like, when are we allowed to ask people? I'm asking this question with sincere curiosity and not knowing the answer. When are you allowed to ask your employees about vaccines? And I know you can't tell anybody to get the vaccine if they don't want to get the vaccine. But if we're in a period here where it feels like we're getting to everyone needs to be vaccinated, how soon before we get our show back?
I know you're asking out of curiosity. Will the answers give you some form of resentment if you don't hear what you want? Are you looking for a particular answer? Because I miss the guys. I would like them to come back.
I'd like them to come back too. But as an employer, you can't tell people to stick things in their body that they don't want to put in their body. So I'm asking curiously, have you guys given this any thought? Has anyone? Because I haven't heard from anybody, hey, I want to come in. And so I legitimately don't know what to do, having no precedent for what vaccines are in this country or pandemics are. I ask the question sincerely, are you guys on your way to being vaccinated, or am I violating all sorts of employee relationships by asking about your medical histories?
I get my second Zine shot on April 8th, and I'm ready to come in as soon as you'll have me, Dan.
All right.
Billy, where are you on the vaccine?
I'm here. I'm working. I don't have one yet, but I'm also not lying about like having asthma and stuff like that to cut lines. So,
Roy, where are you with the vaccine?
I mean, it's always some sort of like right. Little line at the end for Billy.
Yeah.
You go to Publix. They didn't ask me for any preconceived preconditions or anything like that. We got full herd immunity back here in the studio.
Yeah, Billy, you can go whenever you want.
Yeah, trust me. Walk into Navarro, dude.
Right,
Roy.
I'm 3 weeks away from my second shot.
So you got one today?
I got one on Friday.
All right. Yeah. Well, then we will see everybody. We'll have our show back in some form in 3 weeks.
Well, that's if they want to be here. I mean, perhaps they're, you know,
no,
they're nervous.
No, if they get vaccine, you got to come in then. Like, we've been doing this show wrong for a goddamn year. I don't think people understand as they complain about every damn thing that we're doing around here, how hard it is to do the show this way.
I'm dying
to have the show back.
So you are going to be the boss that demands people come into the studio.
No, if they are vaccinated, sure.
Oh, okay, so you are.
Yes, but no, is that not the... Well, once people are vaccinated, shouldn't they come back into work?
Is there a vaccine for the garage?